actually said it because of his wet blanket energy. Unhinged.
All right, guys, it's Interview Thursday, and we have such a special guest that I'm so excited about. We have Nancy Rodriguez. You guys remember her from Love is Blind Season 3, which is my favorite season. Nancy, thank you for coming on She's All That.
Thank you so much for having me. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Well, so we always start off with asking people, we normally interview a lot of people who have been on The Bachelor, and we like to know about like the casting process and how they get on the show. We would love to hear about your experience getting on Love is Blind and what the casting process was like for that.
Yeah. So for me, it was about a 5 to 6 month process. And that was from the moment that my best friend sent me the Instagram post that they were looking for cast in Dallas specifically. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was so funny. I was like, I'm a big like signs girly. So like if I'm thinking about something or praying about something and then something kind of like gives me a little nudge, I'm like, okay, this is it. Like I should do it. Yeah. Right. So, I was single at the time and I was actually on a girls trip in Cancun. And when my girlfriend sent me the link, to the Instagram post about Love is Blind, I was like, you know, maybe I love the show, love the concept. Like if out of all the reality shows, could I see myself on this one? The answer was yes. Mm-hmm. And so, but I was on vacation. So I was like, I'm not going to, you know, press to get this done. And so there was a little bit of downtime throughout the girls trip. And I remember I was sitting on the balcony on the hammock at the resort. And I was like, you know what, this is the time. Like, let me get back on the like post and start the application. It was lengthy. I did not have to submit like a video audition type of thing, but I did have to just answer a bunch of questions. And that first time that I did, I remember finding it very soothing or very like real that, oh shit, like if I get picked, I might get married. Like the idea then started to feel really personal because they asked you such good questions about yourself, where you're at, your values. Like, why should you be the one chosen to be a part of this experiment, right? To potentially get married. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you didn't know the answers, that would be like your, oh shit, like maybe I shouldn't do this, or maybe I'm not ready for this. Mm-hmm. So I felt good about all the answers, submitted it, right? And then the Wi-Fi went down. So my application never went through. And I'm like, I just spent so much time thinking in my heart and all this. And I'm like, you know what? It's not for me. It's not for me. So then, you know, the days go on the vacation and I had two other downtimes. And I was like, let me just try again. Second time, same thing. Lost connection.
It's a sign. It's a sign.
It's a sign. Like, stop, go. Like, veer right. Do not enter. Yeah. And then I remember the third time, it was like one of the last days when there's really not much to do. And I was like, you know what, this will be my third and final time. If I can't get the Wi-Fi to submit this application, then like, I'm done. Like, I'm not going to do it. And it went through. So, after that, I think for me, again, like getting interviewed by, casting people, getting interviewed by the producers, doing like a film sesh where they asked me pretty much the same questions. I think we had like a 200 questionnaire that we had to answer once you got to a certain point. And mm-hmm. even then, I wish I had a copy of that. Like, I don't know what I did to that form, or maybe I didn't print it out. But I wish I had a copy of that because I'd be curious to know where Nancy was in 2021. What was she thinking about like leading up into the experiment? Mm-hmm. And so when I got the call that I was on the final list about 3 months before, 2 months before, but it wasn't like the official. It was just like, hey, like, make sure you take the days off. And I'm like,
final
cool.
Rounds. Like, you're not like officially exactly. In, but like you made it to the end.
Exactly. And so for me, I was like, all right, cool. Like, this is going to happen for me. Like, I just kept saying it to myself and I started to prepare my family. Being Mexican, on my mom and dad's side, my mom is so supportive. She is like all about whatever things I want to do. But my dad on the other side needed a little more explaining. And like, I remember the first time I told him about the concept, he goes, oh yeah. Like I hear people call into the radio station and then they like two singles talk and then like they try to get them to go on a date. It's kind of like that. And I'm like, yeah, kind of like asking questions or like, yeah. I guess like blind dating on a, cause you don't know what someone looks like on the radio. So he kind of had an idea, but I'm like, No, but like, yes. And so that was kind of like the only thing that my mom and dad knew going before I left. And I called them. I was like, okay, bye. Like, I'm leaving. Any last words of advice? They gave me some of their advice. And then I remember my dad was the one that my dad is the one that I remember the most. And he said, just remember that marriage is something that you have to really take serious. And he said, whoever you find, if you find someone, make sure they're your friend. Make sure that they are respectful to you. Make sure that they value you for who you are. And he was like, make sure that they're your friend. Like, that's most important. Like, at the end of all of this, like, when you're older and time goes by, like, you have to want to like this person and you have to be friends. He just kept emphasizing the word friends. And I'm like, okay, you know what? That takes a lot of stress off of like, oh my God, am I here to find my man? To like, all right, cool. Like, is there someone that I can just connect with on like a friend level?
I want to talk about the house that you guys are in. There's the pods, but then there's also like the house where they show you guys like in the living room talking to one another. Do you sleep there? Because we never see bedrooms.
So it is a lounge setup. It's like a production site. So
So you don't sleep there.
we don't sleep there, no.
Wow. Oh, that's
Wait, that's a question from
groundbreaking,
my husband. I was sitting with my husband on the couch and he watched this season with me. And I was like, oh, any questions for Nancy? And he's like, you know what? We never see their bedrooms. And I would think that if you had bedrooms, there would at least be a scene or two with that. So you're on a set. So the pods are obviously a set too.
yes. And I think actually season one might have been a little bit different. So I'm not sure how they do it now. But I think season one, the where they slept was on site, and then two and three, which we filmed simultaneously, we were not on site, so we were driven to our production site.
So you do go to ho a hotel and then they like shuttle you there every single day?
Yeah.
Do you have
Interesting.
to keep, but like, how do you hide your identity? Because you can't have like Bartice accidentally see you and be like, oh, is that Nancy who I'm talking to? Because
Oh, they are like hundreds of people are like walkie-talking in. Like sometimes we had to wait before this and like even to go to the bathroom, like we obviously had different quarters kind of. So like where our bathrooms were not where their bathrooms were. Like their bathrooms would be way on the other side of production site. So like it's a huge building area that like they, next door they could have been filming, I don't know, Avengers, I think is what they were saying or something. Like it there was multiple studio sites at this
Okay.
facility.
Interesting.
After you're like dating for a little bit, do you know who you're going to be going into the room and dating, going on a date with? Because a lot of times, like, you'll go in the room and then be like, oh, I was hoping it was you. So do you go in like completely blind? No pun intended, but like,
Completely blind. So it's really cool actually. I think what happens is that like they really do a good job of letting you as a contestant focus on nothing but falling in love. Like, can you fall in love? Can you build a connection? Can you make this happen? And what I mean by that is they don't give you, again, with the blind part of it is that they don't give you the those like I guess it would be like a teaser, right? Because if you saw your schedule that day and you're like, oh, I have a date here, a date here, a date here, and it's with this person, this person, this person, like it kind of, I wouldn't have personally, part of the experiment, I wouldn't have wanted to know who my first person was, because like maybe that would taint my feelings on like, oh, I got to talk to so and so today, and then I get to talk to, So you literally walk in the pods and you start talking, and then you recognize who that person is. And I remember, so every day of the pods, you eliminate the people that you don't want to match with anymore. The way that the process works is that if you eliminate someone and they also like eliminate you or they put you on their bottom, then as long as y'all are both agreeing that like, hey, this isn't going to work, you're not on my top, then you don't ever see that person again. So it is based off of like an algorithm that like in order, like let's say my top person, when I chose my top person, if they did not choose me back or at least in the top few, like let's say I was last on them. On their list, I would never see them again because that automatically isn't a match. I like him, he doesn't like me. And so then you move on to the next date. And so I would like to say that like from the very beginning, my top, call it my top five, always led to like my top four. Like I always got to see the people that I wanted to see on my top list. I remember there was one, I think it was day two, because it goes from 15 guys to like 7 to 8 guys to like 6 guys and then like on and on. And I remember on day two, I got someone that I was like, who is this? Did I put them on my top? And so I was looking at my list to see like who I had remembered putting down. And I was like, no, I didn't. But we had a lot of like, he was like in my middle. He was like, I don't know, maybe 10 or something. And however, we had a really good career alignments. Like he was in real estate and, you know, his parents own a brokerage and like, yeah. So I got to see at least most of my top throughout the pod.
That's so interesting. I love learning about like the inner workings of so like cool. how the show works. I'm curious too, obviously when you guys are in the pods, you are getting like really deep and you're talking about a lot of like really vulnerable stuff. Do you ever have a say on like certain things that you share that like could potentially like be off limits to be aired? Cause I always think about that too. Like you guys are talking about like politics, religion, like deep traumas. Is everything fair game that you say in the pods, or can you like say something that's like maybe very personal and be like, hey, I'm sharing this because I want to fall in love with this person, but like don't air this, or is it all fair game?
I don't know how it works on production side. However, I think that like, again, because they do a good job of just making sure that like, hey, here's your schedule, like worry about just falling in love. If you can do it, cool. If you can't, like you'll go home. And so I know of other couples that didn't actually make it to engagement, but I know that other couples were in the pods and they were having sexual experiences and like having conversations that were very intimate. And so when I heard that, I was like, wait, how? And so then I learned a little bit about that kind of sexual experience. I kind of like phone sex, but call it
pod
sex. I don't know.
Pod sex. Oh my God.
Literally. Yeah. And so, but you know, what's interesting is that these two people separately, like they're great people, right? The girl that I know, I think so highly of her. And she is so open to like talk about her sexuality and like, and she's so good about just like owning like, you know, women and empowerment and just like us being like in charge of our own body and like orgasms. And so like, it's like, oh, cool. Like that girl, like she's all about talking about women and their bodies and like all the good things. So like, okay, I can see why. Mm-hmm. And then that guy particularly was known for being a little extra saucy in the pods. So it was like, okay, cool. Like that was their experience. They got really close. And then, towards the end, like it didn't align. So they didn't end up making it to engagement.
Are you insinuating that there may be pod footage of people masturbating?
I don't think they were masturbating. That's the thing is I think it was just words. Literally phone sex.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, from what I heard. And again, this is just like lounge talk. And so you know, and so giving each other that sexual experience with words, I think was something that was, and again, for them, like that was something that brought them closer together. You know, it brought them, because that's what they wanted to connect on. That was something that they valued, you know, and it brought them closer together to realize that, hey, like maybe we aren't ready to be engaged. And so sometimes it's that risky. But yeah, so technically everything is fair game. And what you say out of your mouth, like, I feel like that's where like the whole concept of like, oh, I got a bad edit. Like when people say that specifically in, I think the Love is Blind franchise, because I don't know about others. But personally, my experience is that I was never given a script. I wasn't given a, hey, what do you, you know, you should talk about this. Or like, if there was something that I wanted to say, it's because in my heart, in my mind, like I wanted to ask that question or I wanted to make that statement, or I own everything I said. Now, did I say a lot more than what you saw? Yes, I did. Could they only pick about 2 hours for our actual relationship, yeah, out of all the episodes, they can only pick so much information. So, yeah.
So there's never a producer. So like when you're making your list, like, oh, this person's in my top one, two, three, whatever. One, how do you do that? Do you literally write it down? Or are you talking to a producer? And then two, so a producer never said to you, but like, oh, but you know, Cole, you would really like him. Like, you should give him another chance. Like, is there anyone like pushing people on you?
No, I didn't have anyone like prompt me to pick someone. And so I think where the list thing goes, right? So at the end of the day, we have these journals that we journal in, and I was like drawing, and I was just like, any downtime I had between dates, either you're doing private interviews or you're actually interviewing, or you're actually just hanging out in the lounge. So women who only had like two dates left and it was like day three, they had a lot of downtime because they could only see that one guy for 2 hours, and then there'd be like a 4 hour gap, and then they, you know, but again, everyone was getting interviewed. You can take a nap, you can ask to go back to the hotel, you can come back. Like, there's a few things that, you know, you do in the schedule. But at the end of the day, once you've had all your dates, you just basically say like, are you ready to move on with this, this, and this? Pick your top three, pick your top whatever, you know, if there's anything you want to explore. I think there were a couple times that couples had broken up in the pods. I'm trying to think of one scenario. And that guy like stormed off, he broke up, they broke up, he stormed off, comes back on set and is like, okay, like I wanna get my second chance with her. And they were like, no, like you already stormed off, like you ended things, like you acted up, and like, no, we're not gonna give you a second chance with this person.
Season? I remember that happening to someone else. Was that a different season or your season?
I know that about my season, but that's how intense it is. Like, I remember, this is something that I chose personally to do. No one told me this, no one anything, but the women are so strong and powerful. And the lounge, the energy that's in there, it's funny because I didn't feel the cattiness until I watched the show. And I was like, damn, they're like talking shit, or, you know. And so in that moment, like, I didn't feel like there was a lot of cattiness that I personally experienced. And I feel like I made the decision to not share who my top people were because I didn't want to add that component into the lounge. And I didn't want anyone to feel threatened or even me, like, right, feel some type of way if I knew that so-and-so was dating my man.
Yeah.
So I personally chose, I was like, if I don't want to know, I shouldn't be out here being like, oh yeah, my top this person, my That's top true. This person. But that was just my personal decision. I think all the other girls were saying who their top person was. And if I heard my guys' names come up, I would just kind of like veer away. Or I'd be like, I'm going to go to the weight room and like, I don't know, play with
I couldn't handle that.
Are there any TVs or anything in the lounge? No, right? You guys are basically just sitting there to talk with each other.
Yeah, we're sitting there talking, eating, hanging out, taking naps.
Do you have access to – sorry.
I was going to say, can I ask about the cups? I feel like people always comment on, like, the Love is Blind, like, cups that are, like, totally, like, gold and enclosed. Why do they have those cups?
Hey, you know, it's so funny. I think that it really just kind of became a staple. Like, the energy that's in the lounge is so cute. It's cozy. It's like velvet couches. It's colors. Like, I noticed that every season they do change the aesthetics of the lounges. Like, whether it's before we had a pink wall, now it's like a turquoise wall. I really do think it was just a choice of design. And they look so good in person when they're like stacked by like 50 on a wall. So, so yeah, I think it was just an aesthetic thing. And then it just kind of stuck season after season. Now they like sell them and things. Yeah. So
yeah. I've heard it's more of an editing thing though. Like, it may have started as that. It was like aesthetically pleasing, but for editing purposes, for continuity issues, like if they cut your scene with Bartiz, that's 2 hours long and your glass is this full, but now it's this full, but now it's this full. If it's gold, they can cut whatever they want and make it look like it was a 5 minute conversation. So that's what I've read.
Totally.
But maybe it started out innocent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you go back to the hotel, do you have access to like real world? Can you watch TV, computer, phone, or is that all out?
No, they literally do. You go home and you sleep, and depending on that day, you could have gone home really, really late, because you were on a night date. And so, yeah, once you're at the hotel, it's lights out. If we haven't had dinner yet, dinner will be waiting for us, and then we wake up in the morning, get ready, and get back on. So, there is no other access to like do other things. Like they do take away our devices, and that
Okay.
means everything.
Because you can't Google, then I'm sure people would try to Google and try to find the people.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Sometimes in the pods, there's like specific dates. Like I've seen people when like they both will have sushi or something along those lines. Do you who requests that? How do you make it happen? Any insight on that?
Yeah, so it's so interesting how they got so creative in this social experiment, right? Like they want to make it like you're actually dating. So every day there's kind of a theme, or every day there's like we had a costume party one day, and all the girls got to pick outfits. Like we gave them three options, and then the guys also got to pick outfits, and then we went into the pods and had like a costume party, which is like, wait, what? How does that happen? But like, it's literally that. And so it was that we would have like drawing dates or activities night or game night, I think is what they called it. And
Yeah.
so they'd have like different things. And it was like, hey, do you want to order dinner tomorrow? Like, let's have dinner. Let's order tacos and sushi. And so then production just does the best that they can to accommodate for those requests. Like sometimes, like one time I did get flowers sent to me, and I walked in the lounge, and there was like beautiful, or into the pod, and there was beautiful flowers waiting, and that was because the guy on the other end had requested that to be sent to me.
I think something that a lot of people want to know is how many days are you actually doing the pods and how much time is like your longest date?
Ooh, okay, so I'll start with the longest date. And again, you can end it at any point. And because we don't have watches, we don't have Apple Watch. Like, I guess you could have like an analog watch, but you don't really know what time it is in the day. You're just like dating and eating, and then you're taking a nap. So like the day is just going on. And so the concept of time isn't really a thing. And I remember some of us had clocks on our mirrors at the hotel. So we'd be like, oh, okay, like now we know what time it is. Because we could like connect that. So the pod in the pods, you could have up to like a 4 hour date. And then that would just be either in the morning or and in the afternoon, like at night. So they call them night dates. And the night date is just kind of like after a long day of dating, let's say four people, is there anyone that you still want to see again, or that you want to kind of come back to, or like who can you really prepare to see tonight that like will get you ready for tomorrow or tonight's decision? So you do get to follow up. So it could be a total of 6 hours of dating if you had a 4 hour date in the morning and then a 2 hour date at night.
Okay.
And then your other question was
How
about,
many days? Like, how long is that period?
yeah, so you get 8 days in the pods, 8 days to decide if you want to go to day nine, which is proposal day. Some
Oh, wait, I didn't
couples,
know that. I thought it was just all happening organically. There's literally a day that's set for like people to propose.
yes,
Wow.
and so day nine, there are couples in our season who made it to proposal day nine. They got the girls got dressed up, you know, everyone's like, okay, there's seven of us, I think it was seven. This is gonna happen for us, like, you know, everyone's like trying to like hype each other up. And two of those couples, when they got in the pods, the guys weren't ready to propose. They decided that, you know, XYZ reason, let's stay outside the pods. Like, I take marriage really seriously. Like, this has been fun, and I'm so glad that I did it with you, but I'm not ready to propose yet. And so that was their experience. But so day nine, again, is the proposal day. And then day 10 is when you reveal each other's physical part.
Okay. Oh, so that all happens on one day too. Like Stephanie said, it always they make it seem like this is just spontaneously everyone's on their own Yeah, timeline. timeline. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think honestly, like I think some love stories, because that's the thing about the pods. I was surprised about season six, actually. I love season six. I recently finished it last weekend, and I feel like we got to see more of the pod world. We got to see more. Like, it was like episode maybe four or five, and we were still in the pods. And I was like, okay, this is new for me, because like I've watched all the seasons, so I'm like, okay, like I didn't know that they would show so much. So I really do think that because they don't know how these couples are going to turn out, what they're going to be talking about in the pods, like someone's love story could truly be that many episodes, right? Or that many glimpses of their relationship leading up until proposal day.
Can we talk about the reveal part now that we're on that topic?
Yeah.
I wonder if production is like creeping in as much as they do on The Bachelor, because I feel like the beauty of Love is Blind is that we don't know how your reaction is going to be to the guy. It could be great and that's wonderful, or it could be awkward, but they probably want either. Is production telling you like, okay, you're going to meet him for the first time, like time to get really excited? Or do they just like completely let you react how you want to react naturally?
So I want to say that the day of reveal, like there's just a lot happening, right? So like once you have a ring on your finger, because you get the ring. Oh no, I'm sorry. You get the ring after proposal. Yeah, that's right. Sorry. You get proposed to, and then it's okay. Tomorrow is the day that you get your ring, which is the day you see your partner. And so there was interviewing happening before and after. So for me, like, it was just, okay, like, this is it. And I had two proposals to get through. So I was, you know, kind of just making sure, like, I'm still on this decision. I'm still on this decision. And so it wasn't that I was hyped by production to get ready for my person. I was just genuinely, like, very excited and, like, very, like, I actually thought my person that I ended up choosing was going to be way opposite of what I got. So, I think that was the biggest reveal, is that you just don't know.
Yeah. What were you expecting?
So because of the quality of his voice, I was thinking he was going to be like tall, lanky, glasses, like maybe like a little nerdy, like a smart guy, like, but like, I don't know, just like this quirky kind of like, I didn't actually know. I knew he worked out, but like, I didn't know he worked out. So I was just like, yeah, sure. Like, you know, maybe he's like thin. That's why I thought maybe he might be like lean, but I really thought he'd have like, I don't know, beady glasses or something. But something really interesting actually, that, so one of our dates, and I'm talking about Bartiz, right? So one of our dates, we did a drawing activity where we made up these rules. We said, hey, we can only give each other one clue about what we look like, but it can't be an actual like definitive thing that, you know, my race and like all these things. From the very beginning, we chose as a couple to not express our physical appearance. We really wanted to just connect emotionally, and we agreed on that. And so, I'm drawing, he's drawing, whatever, right? And then I end up giving him my picture or something. Like, somehow I like tore it, and I was like, hey, production team, can you give this picture to Bartiz? And they gave it to him. And I gave him his picture, like what I drew of him, what he looked like. Because again, at this point, I'm like, I drew you. It looks like you have this, this, and this, and this. So his clue that he gave me of what he looked like was, girls compliment my eyelashes all the time. That's all he said.
Okay.
And I think I said something like, I have big hair or something. Or I can't remember what I said. I said something that was, again, just like non-physical. Mm-hmm. And so, when I saw him in real life, I wish I had that drawing. I think he might have it actually, if he so kept it. I drew him to the T. A little bit of muscle, not too much. I think he could have been like more beefier, but it was crazy. Like, even his hair, I drew his hair. I had no idea. Like, I don't know what you call that, but like, those feelings that when you get in real life, you're like, oh my God, like I drew you almost exactly the way that you are. Yeah.
That is crazy. So you obviously saw the Megan Fox controversy then, if you watched the most recent season. Do you know, on your season, were people doing things like that and it just didn't make air?
Oh, totally. Yeah. People totally did that. I didn't get that. Again, we chose to not talk about those things,
Right.
physical appearance and comparisons, but there were guys in there that were like, yeah, they call me the Matt, not Matt Damon. What's that other guy? Matthew McConaughey. They're like, yeah, I've
Oh
got
my God.
the McConaughey compliment.
Which
And then we
one?
saw,
There was no one that looked like him.
I know. Matt was the one who said that he looked like Matthew McConaughey.
Wait, hold on. Wait, isn't Matt the one that ended up in a couple?
Yeah,
Or
Matt
no?
and Colleen.
Oh, I was gonna
Yeah.
say Colleen, right? Yeah.
Okay,
Okay,
wait,
wait. Oh, he
Matt.
does not look like Matthew McConaughey. No offense to Matt if he's listening.
And I don't know if he does a really good impression. And so, like, I don't know if he just one day said,
Oh.
all right, all right, all right, or something.
Oh.
And then he's like, I don't know what it was, but he gave that as an example of his celebrity lookalike.
Interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, like that is not Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, no. Not quite, but okay. Do you want to go over to the wedding stuff
Yeah,
now?
no, I do want to ask about the wedding situation. Is the attendance to the wedding like mandatory or part of the contract? I always wonder, like, if two people are planning to say no, it is so much like hoopla to go through and to have all the families and walking down the aisle and the dresses to then just like say no and part ways. I'm curious, like, what you are required to do for the weddings.
To be honest, like, I don't really know what the legality of it is. I heard rumors that, like, if you didn't make it to the end, that there were fines involved.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, that contract really wasn't, like, it didn't hold me by my neck, right? Like, I knew that I was, once you leave the pods and you go into the paradise, which is your 5-day all inclusive, everything is like at your feet, right?
Yeah.
Resort honeymoon, pre-honeymoon, I guess. I was just focused on my relationship. And then even when we got back to Dallas, I remember it was like within our first week of being back in Dallas, and I off camera, I sat our teeth down and I said, I'm gonna say no to you. I'm telling you now, I will get to the altar and I will say no. And at this point, he had already told me that I wasn't his type, that like he had stopped kissing me, he had stopped saying I love you. And so I was like, you're not the person that you promised me to be in the pods and the person that I fell in love with. Like, I don't know who you are, and I'm not gonna do that, but I'm also not gonna embarrass you at the altar. Because one of my requirements that I had asked of him when we sat down in our first living room together in Dallas, he said, what is your biggest fear? And I said, my biggest fear is that we get to the altar, I think you're going to say yes, and that you say no. Like, to me, that would be such a letdown because I'm trusting you with being honest with me, with, with my heart. And like, I don't want to be blindsided. And so I kind of felt like I told him what to do because then we got to the altar and then that's kind of what happened. So, yeah, I think that for me, like, when I said that to him, and then in that moment, he was fighting for our relationship. He was like, okay, well, that's really hard to hear. Like, that's really hard to hear. Like, please give me another chance. Like, please let me work through these next few weeks. I'm going to put my all into it. Like, let me turn things around. And literally, the next day was a non-film day. We both went to work, and he kissed me in the morning. And I'm like, okay, whatever. You're just like, you're just trying to, like, make up, right? And I'm like, that's fine. Like, I'll accept it. And then we went on a solo date, just me and him in Dallas. We went to the mall. We were just doing things that was felt like a normal relationship, off like the social experiment. And from then on, like, he planned all of our dates. He made sure that like he was kissing me and holding me, and we were having conversations. So it he really did a good job the last couple of 3 weeks, I guess, of our relationship to reel me back in, because I was at that point of saying no to him. And so for me, it was the conversations that we had right before the wedding, like a couple days before, a few days before, and they were things like, oh, when we are at reception, we should have a song. Like, when we're at the wedding, like, we should have mariachi there because to celebrate your like Mexican culture. Like, we should have, so like all these things that the we and the us, and one of our last date nights that we did have on camera, he was like, I see my future with you, like our future, our, you know, our journey, moving ahead. And so I'm thinking like, okay, like he put in the work. I remember telling him, if you're going to really take advantage of this second chance that I'm giving you, you need to force it. Like, I'm not going to stick around if you're not going to actually try. I don't care if you feel forced, like hug me, kiss me, like do those things. And sure enough, like he took that advice and he did that. And he, from our conversations, I believed that he was getting closer to me again and that he was going to say yes.
So he reeled you back in only to be a jerk in the end.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is like, even like, I don't know if you guys remember the scene. So it was literally minutes before I walked down the aisle, my maid of honor walks into the room. At this point, I'm just waiting to get cargoed to the ceremony part, or the ceremony part. And my maid of honor walks in and she brings me a tequila shot with a note, and it was from Bartiz. And it said something, and then it said, hey baby, or something, and it says, let's do the damn thing, I love you.
Okay,
so what
was that on TV? That was on the show.
Yeah,
remember that.
it's such a small clip, and to me I was like, oh shit, like let's do that damn thing means let's do the damn thing. Yeah. And so he later, as post LIB and with interviews, he did say he should have never sent that shot because he wasn't 100% sure.
Like, yeah, like what? To hype you up even more?
I think from what he has said in other interviews is that he wanted to just say, like, in general, like, let's get through this day type of, like, let's keep it, you know. And I didn't see it that way. I saw it,
he should have wrote like, it, say, you know. No, sorry. Like, he should have just been like, don't say yes, no, to me, please, because let's just end this. And then here's a shot. Wait.
Yeah. And you know what is interesting is that so I had planned his gift a week before, the gift that I gave him, and it had all the memorabilia and reminders of our relationship throughout the 6 to 8 weeks. And so I gave him that present, that gift on wedding day, and he had that breakdown. Cause I think at that point, my opinion is that he knew he was going to say no. When he saw my cards, saw how thoughtful that gift was, it reminded him of his mom and something his mom would do. And so from that, he initiated, okay, let me send her something too. And then it was the shot. Let's do the damn thing. Yeah.
Like, oh, this is so romantic. Thank you. I gave you like a sentimental gift and you gave me alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah.
When was the last time you spoke to Bartiz? Oh yeah, he was young. When have you like kept in touch after the show?
No, actually I haven't. So the last time I spoke to him was probably, oh gosh, like reunion, somewhere around there. Oh,
wow.
Okay. It's funny, actually, I went to an event that I got invited to, and it was a paid event that was here in New York, and he was there, and I was just, and I actually was with my boyfriend, who I my relationship I have now, and I didn't know he was going to be on set. So when I noticed, actually Raven was there too. So Raven pulled me to the side and was like, hey, just so you know, we saw Bartiz is here. And I was like, okay, great. Like, thank you for the heads up. And I just, at that time, like when I cut ties, I really meant it. Like, I unfollowed him on social media. It's like, there's just no reason for you to be a part of my life anymore. Like, we did it. And like, it's done.
Yeah.
So, I didn't feel the need to say hi or be like, oh my God, how are you? Like, I don't talk to you outside of this. So why would I like pretend to talk to you for real?
Right.
And my boyfriend is here. So, you know.
Right. Right. You seem to have like gone on the show with like such pure intentions of like really wanting to like follow the experiment and meet someone in that way. Do you think Bartiz had the same intentions? Cause I remember at the reunion, there were talks about like him
being on boats then with other girls, like right after the show. So what do you think about that?
I think dating, being that I dated him and I was his fiance, I think that he genuinely didn't know if he could fall in love, and he genuinely didn't know if he could be married in X amount of weeks. I don't think that he intentionally, and this is just my opinion, again, I dated him, yeah, right? Slept in the same bed with him for weeks. And I really do think that he was trying to wrestle with some of his own experiences of his own past, of his life before. He has dated older women before. And so like he, I think he was really just trying to figure out, like, is this all for me? I think where as his fiance, I would have wanted some of that feedback of what he was going through towards the end. Because all I got towards the end was the guy that I got in the pods. So like for me, I based it off of like, okay, you're showing up, you're doing your thing, and like, cool. And so when, after he said no, we sat down and talked on the staircase, which felt like forever. And then like, you know, it's only cut to like 30 seconds or 2 minutes or something on the show. I had no intention to want to date him after that. Like, I just knew that his no was, I don't choose you. And had he had a conversation with me prior to saying no, that, you know, or had he not sent the shot again, like all these things, had he done things differently, I think that,
yeah,
maybe him being 25, like he still didn't quite have the proper delivery as to like how to handle the situation. He had never actually watched Love is Blind until we were filming, and we decided to watch like a little bit of season one together. So yeah, I think that he just didn't really know going into it. And then once he found someone that reminded him of home and reminded him of his mother and reminded him of, you know, warm feelings, then he decided to follow through and take it to the next phase. Mm-hmm, right. But I'm so glad he said no. Can we just talk about the no? Like, yes. the no was a blessing in disguise.
Of course, yeah.
And I think that's why, like, I give him so much more credit to have said no if he wasn't ready to be my husband than to have said yes not knowing if he's ready to be my husband, right?
Totally. Like, right.
A no is an answer that I took very serious.
Mm-hmm. Right. No is a full sentence, they say, period. That's it. Were you going to say no if it wasn't for the shot?
No, I think at that point I was definitely like, I'm 99% sure I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
And
because
he like,
reeled you back in.
Yeah. And I was like, if there's anything that like, and again, I'm listening to myself. I'm like trying to, do all these. I remember I was talking to my dad because my dad walked me down the aisle and we got cargoed together to go to the ceremony. And I remember being like, Dad, like, you know, just kind of asking for last minute advice, trying to see if like there's something that I'm missing that I should consider. And he just like encouraged me to like listen to my heart and like, what is it that you feel? And what do you, you know, is this person someone that you see yourself doing life with? And so that kind of allowed me to just make that decision to say yes.
Yeah. Did it feel like a real, like actual wedding that day though? Like, did you feel like I'm a bride, I'm going to walk down the aisle, or did it feel like a TV show?
Oh my gosh. So before Love is Blind, I never have been the girl to dream of my perfect wedding day. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to be married one day. Like my dress, my this, like, oh, I don't even know diamond cuts and like ring size. Like, I don't even know. I barely know my ring size. I think it's like a six. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I never fantasized about being married. I've always had more of a goal mindset to have an education, to have a career, to travel, to have financial wealth. Like all those things were priority for me and not necessarily a wedding. So that day after everything happened, it was the very next day after saying, you know, after what we did one last interview to just kind of wrap up the season. And I remember I was driving home and I was just like bawling. And I was like, I was bawling because I never knew what a wedding could feel like, obviously, but I also never dreamt of it. So I was like, wow, even though this didn't work out for me, like I, one day I want to be married. Like, I want to have a wedding. I want to have that experience because it really felt that real to me. Like, with all of my closest, like, you only pick 40 closest family and friends. And the fact that everyone showed up, except for like maybe like one person that got sick, like everyone showed up. And then after we had a plan B that one of my best friends had lined up. He said, if he says no, if you guys don't get married, we're still gonna party afterwards. Like, we're gonna go somewhere, we're gonna do the after party spot. And sure enough, like 35 people showed up to the after. For me, it was just the love and the support that was there that reminded me of like, oh my gosh, like this is such a beautiful feeling. And I feel so loved and so supported. And for me, it was my family and friends being there that like I want to, when it's the right person, like I want to be celebrated in this way.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to.
I have more questions now that you bring it up about like the logistics of the wedding. Like, had two people said yes, like, do you guys talk about like, oh, what food are they going to serve at the wedding? What are the songs going to be like? Because I feel like they have to be prepared to have a full-on reception if two people say yes and then throw it away otherwise. Like what happens to the food? Do the guests check? Like, yes, chicken, beef, or whatever.
Literally, yes. So they actually have staff. All the staff is ready to go if two people say yes. So when they say yes, from what I heard at the couples who got married, there was a waiting period, like a happy hour, not a happy reception, happy hour before the reception. And this is the time that photographs get taken, just like a regular wedding, right? And at this time, the chefs are like hustling to
Oh my
defrost the
God.
food, to get things
That's
going.
so
Like, it is
crazy.
like, okay, go time. So as soon as two people say yes, they go straight into making all the food. And again, it's 40 and 40, so 80 people plus staff, like call it a few hundred people that they have to cook for.
Wow.
Yeah, prior to that, we do actually have wedding planning. So we had a PDF form. It's like, what colors do you want to pick?
Okay.
Like,
Oh,
what kind of
okay.
music do you want to have? Like, are there any special requests? Like, I wanted a violinist, that would be at my reception. I'm sorry, at the ceremony. And then I wanted mariachi to be greeting my I said patient, my guest, to be greeting my guest to come in. So there were certain things that I had requested that were honored for the wedding. So
Okay.
it felt like a real wedding for
Yeah, but
sure.
then when people say no, they just drop everything and they're like, all right, don't make the food. It's fine.
Pretty
That's
much, yeah, they
crazy.
gotta wait till the next one. Our weddings were back to back. So it was like day one, day two, day three.
Oh,
Wait,
I was
when we
gonna
went
say,
first,
if you say no, it's like, okay, we'll give it to the next bride. The violinist goes to like this other wedding, but it's different days.
different days, yeah. And
Okay.
you know what's so beautiful is that like we all had different tastes, different colors, and they did a really good job of channeling, like even though wedding here happened yesterday, like they channeled what I wanted and like my theme so well that like, yeah, they do an amazing job to get those things going the wedding days.
Wait, weird question. So, like, the reception area isn't decorated yet until they know that you're really going, right? It's not like you can peek in and be like, "What would my wedding would have looked like if we were like coming out?" It's not decorated though yet, so you can't
Oh,
really see, right?
I don't know. I would think that they have probably like standard linens already ready to go, and then like the pop of colors come after.
Right. Okay.
But the reception is on site, so they picked a venue that had both, like the ceremony part and the reception part.
Yeah. Do you
I'm
pick
so
out like
fascinated by all
songs and
this.
stuff? Like, what's your first dance song? And oh,
Oh
your like
yeah,
father-daughter dance and everything?
The checklist has all those questions. So like, I knew which dance I wanted to dance with my dad. I knew. Oh my God! Wait, I didn't tell you all this.
What?
I actually had like a bride to my groom dance, like a choreographed. I had like a whole
My
outfit of
God.
sparkles that it was like one of the producers knew a music person, and I asked him to mash up like three or four or five songs, and so he did a mashup of a bunch of songs, and me and two of my best friends like choreographed this dance, and it
Oh.
was like Love on Top, like
Oh, cute.
a bunch of like songs that were so we were like ready to like, okay, reception is happening and like I'm gonna dance my ass off for my
Wow.
man. That's
Did you
so
do it at the
crazy.
after party then?
Oh my God, no. But people were asking, they're like, we heard there's a dance. And I was like, yeah, there is.
Oh my God. I would be more nervous for the dance than I would for like the wedding. Like knowing you have like choreography to perform, I'd be so nervous.
Yeah. It does seem like it really is much more like a real wedding than I thought. I thought it was maybe, you know, feeling a lot more just like a TV wedding, and then knowing that like going forward that these couples maybe have a real wedding later on. But I didn't realize they did all those details, so it's interesting.
Yeah. And I think for me, the experience had always been like the goal of the show is to find out if love is truly blind. From the beginning of the pod phases, I think that love is blind. And then when you get into the real world, phase one, which is the honeymoon, can you stay in love? Is love still blind, but now you have a physical component? And then do you keep it? I think on wedding day, I think at the altar, the question is love unconditionally blind? Because then you're making that decision to make this forever. And that was something that we talked about. We didn't want to get divorced. We didn't want to say yes just to make it to the next phase of marriage and then get divorced because we weren't right for each other.
Bartice went on to do other like dating shows. I think it was The Perfect Match. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. I watched that season, so I saw him. Were you ever approached to do other dating shows?
No, I was not.
Yeah. Interesting. I thought they would have like asked you to try to come back to Love is Blind even. But I guess they have to go for who lives in that area, right? Whatever area they're
No,
doing.
I don't know how they cast, but I think that honestly, like at least at this point in my life, like I never before Love is Blind had even considered reality TV. So I think for me, it was such an exception that it was Love is Blind as to why I said yes, like let's do this. So I think anything post Love is Blind would have to make sense with my life. Like, you know, it would have to be about, like, I would love to do a reality TV show where, like, it's something having to do with, like, where I'm at in life now, whether that's real estate or, side hustles, you know, a show about something that like relates to like investing, like that excites me, that gets me going, you know. So it's like I feel like any kind of other reality TV show would just have to align with where I'm at. So I say that in respectfully to say like I'm glad I didn't get picked for Perfect Match.
For sure. Yeah. It seems like, I mean, there's also the type of person that wants to keep going on these shows to like keep their reality TV career going. And if that's not something that you're looking for, then that makes sense. We want to ask about like your life today. You said you're in a relationship. Before we get into that, we're like obsessed with the Zenob Cole. I loved this season. I think like you guys were, I think I said it on our show, like such queens, like such strong, powerful women. One of them being Zenob, who is like, I love her. I think she did such a great job carrying herself on that season. Do you have any, what's your take on the infamous cuties scene where he says you're gonna spoil your appetito? What did you know? Because you were best friends with Zenob. I don't know if you guys are still in touch, but like I'm interested in your take on it.
Yeah, so love Zenob. She is absolutely a queen in so many ways. And regardless of the things that she's gone through in life, like she truly is one of the strongest people I know. And she's just such a good friend. She is a girl's girl, like to the end. And so love Zenob. The thing about every couple's relationship is that we were all headed to the next phase, right? So we were all going to the vacation. We were all going back to Dallas to live together with our person. There were other things that were happening that we were either talking about or that we saw or that like weird things happening that it wasn't just that one thing. So that wasn't the first time. So I think, for example, at reunion when we were talking and Raven was actually the first one to say, like, yeah, but then you commented on and then said something about like the oranges or something. I think that's how it originally got brought up. Zenob never was, I remember leading up into reunion, she never wanted to bash him, call him out. Like, she never had the intention of or a plan to try to bring out negative things of what happened in the relationship. What we did as her support system was like we felt the need to kind of help to speak on her behalf, because I think even when Raven like mentioned that, and then like Alexa chimes in, and then we were talking about like, yeah, you saw someone the night of your bachelor night, like, you know, like that whole story about the girl that he gave his number to,
Oh
that
yeah.
like,
Oh
if this,
yeah.
that happened, like Bartice told me that, like th things were happening and it was all off camera. So like, did he have the intention of marrying her? No, I don't think that he did, because of all the things that we saw and experienced leading up to it. I think the big, most troubling thing even to think about, like some of the comments that he said, like it's almost like at reunion when the cutie scene was aired, it's like people forgot that this man was questioning her mental health, and this man was telling her like, oh, you know, I usually date lilies. Like, you're obviously not a lily, you know? And it's like, what the hell does that mean? Like, yeah, I'm not. Like, I'm a person of color and I'm a curvy woman and I'm beautiful, you know? So it's like all those things, like people just forgot about. Why? Because he had crocodile tears. Like, I'm sorry, but to me, it looks like you're just not genuinely taking, you're not taking accountability for what you said. And I think that that was troublesome with the cutie scene specifically. I remember at reunion he was like, I didn't say that, or like was like denying things, and then they showed the clip right on air, post show, because we didn't know they were going to show the cutie clip until reunion came out, like once the edited version was came out, and sure enough, like that was a lie. Like, get Mari out here to say like that was a lie, because he said he didn't say it, but then like the scene shows that he was commenting on the food. He pushed bread away from her before because he was like, you know, like so all these things are potatoes or something like that. Like, he pushed food away from her, and so again, it was a pile up of different experiences that led up to what happened at reunion.
Yeah, that's crazy. So
It
do you still
is.
have you're not on good terms with Cole?
I just like other people in like that I dated on the show, right? Like the 15 guys, I have no ties, no connection, no reason to be friends with that person. So to me, it's like my love and my loyalty and my like where I want to continue to grow in a friendship is with Zenab. And so Team Zenab 100%, like all day, every day, like I will ride for her. And so I don't have any ill will for him. I just don't feel a benefit to have any kind of communication with him.
That's fair. That makes sense. I wanna Nick and Vanessa, real quick. How much do you actually see them? Like, are you and is it true that Nick stands on a box? I don't think it is.
No, he does not stand on the
Okay.
box.
I like read that somewhere and I'm like, all right, I feel like we would see the box at some point.
No. We do get to see Nick and Vanessa at the beginning, in the middle, at the end. Like, actually, I think because of COVID, COVID was still rampant in 2021, and season two was also filming, so we didn't get to actually see them as often as I think season one and the other seasons did. Like, but they made that very clear. You know, after the show, they were like, the show is about the couples. Like, we don't want to influence them. I think they got really close to season one, and like even like I read somewhere that like they were visiting the couples and things like that, like privately, and it's like that's great. And also I see why they might have stepped back from that, because it really is about like making that connection with your partner and using as all the seconds and the minutes in the day. Using those times to connect with your person and figure out if this is something that's going to make sense for you at the altar.
Interesting. Had to slide that one in. But tell us about life today. You're in a relationship and happy. How's that going?
Yeah, so I'm currently in a relationship. I am so happy. I'm based out of New York and Dallas, so I go between the two. But he is originally from the Midwest, and so from that, like, we actually connected. He saw me on the show and we connected on Instagram, and so from then on, yeah, like we just continued to stay in touch, and he transitioned from Boston to New York, and we're based out of here, like I said, for the most part. And yeah, I just feel like when I, before the show came out, it was like 3 months before and 3 months after, so about 6 months, I did not date anyone. And I said to myself, like, I'm gonna just get back to myself even more. Like, I don't know what the show is gonna be, come out to be. Like, you don't know what the final edit is yet. And I didn't want to date anyone. I wanted to make sure that, like, I was in a good place, that, like, once my personality gets blasted, and, like, who knows? Like, for me, I remember joking with Zenob about this after. I said, girl, thank goodness we didn't get the slim pickings. Like, now we're single and we are, like, exposed. Our personalities or our profiles are exposed, to hopefully find someone that isn't just the top 15 of Dallas chosen by the casting crew of Love is Blind. Like, let's not leave our hands in production to find the love of our lives, but like, now we can actually venture out and, like, hope to find someone outside of Dallas. Who knows, right? And for me, like, it was someone outside of Dallas. It was someone from a whole other part of the world that I would have never been able to meet.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have met if you weren't on the show, and they wouldn't have connected that way. So that's so interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I'm so happy. And I think one of the things that I said to myself before getting into the relationship is, I remember I said, I'm at the point in my life where I'm obsessed with myself. Like, I love the things that I'm doing. I'm giving into my, like, pouring into myself. I'm, stronger than I was before. There are areas that I've been working on. I'm in therapy. Like, I had all these things that I was just so proud of myself for. And I remember being like, if the next person I date isn't obsessed with me and doesn't see the value of my boundaries or see the value of the person that I am today, then, like, they're not for me. And it'll be so much easier to weed those people out, right? Go on blind, go on, not blind, go on dates, and just understand that, like, it's not there. And so for me, it was so quick and easy to see how he felt about me from the very beginning, and then consistently kept that energy up until today. So he's obsessed, I'm obsessed with
Oh,
him,
love
and so we're just a
it.
little obsessive couple.
Oh my God. Everyone deserves someone who's obsessed with them. I love it. That's so
Definitely.
cool. Congratulations on finding that.
Yeah.
And it is cool that the show kind of helped with that. Where can our listeners keep up with you? Is there anything that you want to share with our listeners? Floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So I do have, one of my goals this year is to really push forth the financial real estate investing side of my Instagram. So I do have a finance page there. It's called Financy Talk. And you can find it on my main page as well. That is the Nancy Rodriguez on Instagram and on TikTok.
Amazing.
Yay.
So
Thank you,
everyone
Nancy.
go give Nancy a follow. This has been so
So
fun.
good.
Like I said, we like adore you. Also tell Zenob we said hi and we'd love to have her as well. Love
Yes.
her. We want her so badly on the show. This is so interesting to like hear all these behind the scenes details that I don't think is like out there for everyone. A lot of people like assume things or but this is a lot different than The Bachelor, which is what like we do a lot of. So thank you for being so open and willing to share. This has been great.
Yeah. Y'all too. Bye.
Okay,
Bye.
bye.
That was
And
so good.
that's our show, guys. Was Nancy not the cutest?
I
I'm
know,
like
I'm obsessed with her.
obsessed.
I'm re-obsessed. Like we were obsessed when we were watching the show, but I'm re-obsessed with her now, I think.
Re-obsessed. Also, if you wanted to watch that full interview and like see how adorable Nancy is, this is on our Patreon. So go to patreon.com/she'sallbatch if you want to check that out. And yeah, just love her. Hope you guys liked it too. Share it with a friend. Why not?
Yes. Share it with two friends, even. Who's to say just one
Ooh,
friend? Two
who's to
friends, three
say?
friends, a whole friend group.
Bushel. Yeah.
Bushel of friends.
A bushel of friends.
What?
Should I just share? Guys, oh, sorry. No, I'm not going to share.
No,
I'm
share.
sorry.
Wait, what? Now I want to know what's going on.
My phone's ringing. I just declined it. I am getting wrong number calls for two separate people. Like, literally, one's Vanilla and one's Victoria. And they are both on Long Island because it's places that are like, oh, Victoria, please confirm your orthodontics appointment or
Oh.
orthodontist appointment. And then it names a place. And I'm like, that's like 15 minutes from me. First of all, it said like confirm the appointment. I've been saying no because my hope is that
when she goes in and says, oh, I have an appointment, and they say, no, you canceled it, she'd say, oh, when did I cancel it? What number do you have? And then this issue would be solved. It's been two separate times and I've canceled both of her appointments and it still happens. So what I want to know is, like, how is Victoria, like, getting in touch with her orthodontist if they just keep calling me? Right. And then Vanilla is a nurse. And I keep getting calls from a nursing staffing agency that wants to place her. And I'm like, is Vanilla just, like, not working? Like, is she not, like, going to jobs? Because, like, if they're only calling me. So anyway, all that to say, my phone was just ringing as we were recording this. And I would guess that that's for one of them, because probably yesterday I got like three separate calls that weren't for me. But how are people, like, going about their life if all the calls keep going to me?
Right. Do you think those people are like your phone number neighbors? Like, they're just like one digit off?
I hope so.
They're mistakenly going to you, and they have the same area code and everything. So that's why it's like local.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I just don't get, like, has Victoria gotten to the orthodontist recently?
I don't know. Her teeth are just getting more crooked by the day. She needs to go. Victoria. Victoria, if you're listening, go to the orthodontist. The phone number they have on file is wrong.
I bet you Victoria is a FOTS, actually. For girl, sure. Please stop giving my number out. It's really annoying. But anyway.
That is annoying.
That's just what's going on with me. But yeah, we will see you guys in the next episode.
Yeah.
So is that it?
I think that's it.
Goodbye, bitches.